Please join me now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, not Hebrews. We've been walking through Hebrews for months now, and we're going to come back to Hebrews in 2026 when we start the new year, but we're having a Thanksgiving message today and then a missions message next week, and then Christmas, we want to celebrate the incarnation together, and then Lord willing, we'll pick up in Hebrews 11 when we get into January. But Thursday is our Thanksgiving holiday. And I reserve the right to change my mind, but I think it may just be my favorite holiday. When we get to Christmas, I'll probably say that's my favorite holiday. I don't know. But I do love the Thanksgiving holiday, particularly because of its simplicity. I know it involves a big meal preparation. That's not simple. In fact, in our household, Joy is the brains of the operation, does most of it. But I jump in there when it comes to the turkey, getting that thing ready. So there's a lot of work there, but otherwise, it is simple. The family gathers, there is a feast for me, then there'll be a nap, and there'll be some football on in the background. It's simple, it's delightful. And there's one simple goal of this holiday, and it's giving thanks. But even as simple as that one goal is, you and I can fail to give thanks. We can get so preoccupied with the food, we get stressed out about the gathering that we never get around to giving thanks. But as God's people, we know this, that we are to have thankful hearts. And it's not an annual time of year, like, well, okay, November's coming, I probably ought to start getting thankful. It's not that. God calls us to a life of thanksgiving. This is one of the signs of your spiritual health, that you are thankful. So today, I'm going to preach an expository message of one verse of the Bible. And I'm going to give you a bunch of other verses, but we're going to anchor to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Hear the word of God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The New American Standard Bible translates this verse this way. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a simple verse, but what a powerful call to all of our hearts. Now, let's get the context of this verse a little bit. Go back up to verse 16 and see what we see just prior to this. Verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And now again, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice with me first, thankfulness is God's will. This is something God expects for us to do. Somebody might say, well, this is challenging for me. I'm not a naturally thankful person. You might say, I'm kind of grouchy. And so to give thanks doesn't come naturally for me. Listen, God calls us to do a lot of things that may be challenging for us in our sinful nature. Do you know that God calls all of us to love other people? Yes, people. Not just our pets. We're to love other sinful people like ourselves. We're to love one another. We're to love our neighbors. We're even told we're to love and pray for our enemies. That's a challenge for us, but we are called to do it. We're even called to forgive people. Jesus' disciples asked, how many times should I forgive somebody who asked me? Remember what Jesus said? 70 times 7. You should do it on and on and on. That doesn't come naturally for us. For some people, giving faithfully is a challenge for them to organize their lives, to be disciplined with their money so that they can give consistently and generously into the kingdom of God. That's a challenge. For some people, they're called to actually go to the ends of the earth as missionaries. They're called to sell their stuff, give away their stuff, and relocate to another part of the earth. That's a challenge. So what are people to do who receive that call? They should go to be in the will of God. And here's a challenge for many right here, simply giving thanks. Somebody say, I don't have a naturally thankful heart. Or somebody might say this, listen, if you knew my circumstances, you would know I have no reason to give thanks at all in my very difficult life. And yet, what's the word of God say? You're commanded to be grateful. Notice the wording, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, normally when we think about the will of God, we're thinking about some big decision that we need to make. And we think, I'm seeking God's will. And that's the right thing to do, by the way. Maybe you're facing a job choice and you're thinking, all right, Lord, do you want me to take this job? I've been at this place for a long time. Is it wise for me to do this? Is this an open door from you, Lord? Would you show me? Or maybe if you're in that dating phase of life, should I ask this person out? Should I accept this date? Should I go out with this person? or if you're choosing whether or not to go to college, Lord, should I go, should I not? If I go, what should I major in? Is there something else you would have me do? God, are you calling me into the ministry? Are you calling me to missions? Those are great questions to ask. You want to be in the center of God's will. But while you're discerning those big decisions, you know this, I know it's God's will that I be thankful. In fact, you don't even have to ask him. Nobody today should ask, Lord, do you want me to be a thankful person? Or should I stay disillusioned and bitter? No, you don't have to ask him. He's already told you this is his will, that you would be thankful. It's a clear expectation of God. It's a command of God that we as people be thankful. Did you know that in the Bible, there are 132 instances of the word thanks or thankfulness? It's all over the Bible, which I'll illustrate in just a few moments. It's all over the Bible. It should be a prominent part of your life. When you're praying to God, thanksgiving should be a prominent part of your praying. It should be your general resting attitude. You should be known for thankfulness in your life. The people who know you best ought to be hearing from you some rejoicing bubbling up a lot. Thanksgiving to God should be bubbling up a lot, even in our difficult lives. It's commanded, give thanks. There are a lot of things like this in the Bible that we're commanded to do. Do you know this? In Ephesians 5, husbands, remember this? We've been commanded to love our wives. That's a command. Not just on her best days are we to love our wives. And listen, the lofty standard, love her like Christ loved the church. We're commanded to do it. And likewise, in the same way, we're told all of us, oh, I am to be thankful. Now, over 20 years ago, Joy and I came up with what we called our family ethos. There were some qualities that we wanted to be true of us as a husband and wife and of our daughters. And so we thought we have four words, these four qualities we really want to mark us, that we would aspire to. And these four words that we put before our daughters and before ourselves throughout these years have been these four words: passion, courage, gratitude, this word, and love. So passion for us meant this: we aspire to always be passionate for God. To be saved by Jesus, it's never right to be lukewarm. Remember, Jesus warned a church in the book of Revelation about being lukewarm. We don't want to be whatever about someone so awesome. So we've been singing of this great God. That's right, what we were just doing. That should be us all the time. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I adore you. So we wanted to hold out as normal passion for Jesus. And we talked about courage, and we have love there, loving God, loving others. But we had right in there as one of the things we want to be. Not always, we not always hit the standard, but what we want to be is grateful people. The idea here is this is not a nice extra. This is essential. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you thankful? And maybe the better question is this: have you been thankful? So you think over the last week, has this been a part of your prayer life to God? Oh, Lord, I am so grateful, and this has been part of your life. Or how about the last month? Not because a holiday's coming up, but has this been you? And listen, if that's not been a dominant part of your praying, a regular part of your praying, then you need to repent. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean repent? I'm not robbing banks. I'm not on drugs. Listen, repent of those things too if you're doing those. But if you're not thankful, the Word of God says it's the will of God for you that you be thankful. You're out of the will of God if you're not a thankful believer, and so repent. So listen, thankfulness is God's will. Secondly, thankfulness is to be continual and comprehensive. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Many translations say, in everything. I love those words, all and everything. I take note of those when I see them in the Scriptures. I hope you do too. Notice with me here in 1 Thessalonians 5, notice verses 14 leading up to verse 18. Notice those words, all and every. He says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now look down to verses 21 and 22. But test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Everyone, all, always, without ceasing, in all circumstances, following Jesus, nothing about it is extracurricular. Jesus is no add-on to your life. Jesus, when you trust him and begin to follow him, he impacts all of your life. If you've trusted in Jesus, he holds claim to all of you, listen, all the time. Jesus should be in your mind. He should be on your mind continually. Following Jesus is a total surrender of all of your life. And one of the evidences that the Spirit is in control of your life is this attitude of gratitude that should be in you. We as believers in Jesus should be the most grateful people on the planet. Listen to the Word of God from other places. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Or Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Oh, and I love Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so, like so many things in the Christian life, this command is not merely circumstantial. We're not only to give thanks when we make the team. We're not only to give thanks when we get the promotion. We're not only to give thanks when he does heal us for one of our sicknesses. Yes, give thanks in those times, but all the time giving thanks. Listen to suffering Job in Job 1:21. When he lost everything, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Ephesians 5 tells us that thanksgiving is an evidence of the Spirit-filled life. Ephesians 5:18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So through the Spirit of God, you and I can even thank God in the hard times. And through the Spirit of God, you and I can even thank God for the hard times. You say, how is that possible? Well, I can tell you this, it does not come naturally. It's not what our flesh does. But an evidence of the Spirit of God in us, he gives us things that are not natural, they're supernatural. And so through the eyes of faith, when we're in times of adversity that many of us are in, even right now, we can say this, Lord, I don't like what I'm in right now. But I know that you're good, and I know that you're working these things out for good because, Lord, you promised it. And we could bring to mind places like Romans 8:28 that says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So in our troubles, we can pray two ways simultaneously. In our trouble, we can pray this, "Lord, give me relief. Lord, heal me, help me, deliver me." I hope you pray that way. I do. When I'm hurting, going through something, I'm asking God, take it from me. Make me well, make all this go away, whatever the trouble is. Pray that way. But at the same time, you can be praying thanksgiving to God at the same time. Lord, thank you. Lord, take it from me, but thank you that you're with me in the midst of this struggle that I do not want. Lord, I thank you in the midst of this, that I don't like these circumstances, but I trust you. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to display my faith in you. Lord, thank you that in this struggle, you're causing me to cling to you like I wouldn't be doing if everything were going easy right now. I don't want the struggle, but Lord, I thank you for this. And Lord, how about this? You ever pray this? Lord, thank you. Lord, I know that you're growing me up in my faith because of this difficulty. Listen, I know this is not possible in our flesh. It's not possible without the Spirit. But the idea is this, in all things, big and small, regardless of the circumstances, we have much to rejoice about. We should have hearts that are overflowing with thanks to God. It's God's will for us. Our thankfulness is to be comprehensive and continual. And then this, thankfulness is to be a part of our character. Thanksgiving should be part of your character, permeating you and overflowing out of you. And no, it's not circumstantial. And goodness, it's not seasonal. It's not a every November thing. The goal is not merely to say the words thank you and not mean it. Maybe your mother did this with you like my mom did with me. Tell the nice man thank you. Tell the nice man thank you. And I didn't want to. But you go over there and dutifully say thank you. And the man knows you're not really thankful. Your mom knows you're not thankful. You're not thankful, but it's a great mom move. It's still the right thing, right? Just teaching manners. Everybody knows that's the right move to make. Say it, even if you don't mean it. But listen, for us, we don't want to just say it. We are commanded to be thankful. to give God thanks for his goodness to us. And by the way, did you know that thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God, is an antidote to many common temptations? Think of it this way. It's hard to be despairing at the same time you're genuinely giving thanks to God. It's hard to be greedy at the same time you're giving God thanks for all that he's given you. Now listen, I know our hearts. We can be greedy again in about 5 seconds afterwards. But simultaneously, when you're saying, God, you have blessed me, thank you for the things that you've given me, it's hard at the same time to have a greedy heart. It's hard to be in rebellion against God when you have a heart that's so thankful to him. It's impossible. Those two can't coexist. So you ask the question, well, how can the people of the Bible be thankful? Think about the people in the Bible. In the first century and before, but in the first century, life was difficult. There are things you think about. If we were transported back in time to the first century in the Roman Empire, we'd be thinking, what in the world could I be thankful for? Think about what it was like. There was no indoor plumbing then, not like we have it here. No HVAC units, no democracy, no retirement plans, no health insurance, no hospitals, no extended warranties. And yet, they got the command first, be thankful in all circumstances. And we'd say, those were rough circumstances. These people, the Thessalonians, they in particular were going through adversity. Paul brings it up a lot. Read 1 Thessalonians this week. They're at adversities, persecution going on, and yet he tells them first, before we ever heard it, hey, be thankful in all circumstances. So how could God's people, through all the generations before us, how could they be thankful? Let me give you some ideas to help us all be more thankful. David gives an example in 2 Samuel 22. He thanked God for his protection from enemies. He says, you rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. So we can thank God for his protection. We can thank God because he's good. This is 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. We can thank God for the strength he gives us. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song, I shall thank him. We can thank God for his truth. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. We can thank God for his work, even his work in creating us. Psalm 139, 14. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Of course, we can thank God for our food. Many times, this is the only time some people even think about giving thanks, but of course we do it. We have it modeled in the Bible. Even Jesus at the Lord's Supper, Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We can thank the Lord for the victory we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can give thanks, modeled for us by believers before us, we can give thanks for our fellow believers. Listen to this, Ephesians 1:16. Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wrote this, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And to these Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. We can thank God for the privilege of serving him. Paul wrote this to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. There are all kinds of reasons we should give thanks. And I'm pushing my heart to give thanks for all those things we talked about. I hope you're doing the same. And I want to take a moment of pastoral privilege right now to give another reason why I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. When I'm at meetings and people ask me, hey, Jim, how are things going at Staples Mill? I can't help myself but to give thanks for you. I often use this phrase, I've told you before, I often say, I'm the happiest pastor I know because of you. It's because of these wonderful people of Staples Mill. I do not take it for granted. This sweet spirit in this church is wonderful. I'm so thankful for you. The unity that we have in our love for Jesus and the Word of God and in the mission he's given us, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for this wonderful team of pastors, these amazing deacons that I get to serve with. every life group leader, these amazing children's workers. Some of you were serving children in the last hour, and now another wave are working with children right now. The student volunteers that are serving right now. I love that we get to send missionaries and support missionaries together. And I love this. I'm so grateful. When I watch the body of Christ minister to itself, so when I look at a life group rallying around a hurting church member, and you're serving and loving each other, just to watch that happen, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. And it's not something I'm forcing myself to do every day. So grateful to be a part of this body of believers. But back to the scriptures, I want you to hear not just that we are thankful, oh, but listen how lavish our thanks should be coming from our hearts. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord, listen, with all my heart. Psalm 35, 18, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. Psalm 18, 49, therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations. Oh, and then Psalm 30, verse 12, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you, listen, forever. I'll give thanks to you forever. Hang on to that word forever. We're going to come back to that. But before we come back to that word forever, I thought of five reasons why some people are not grateful. And here's a chance for us to examine our hearts to make sure these don't describe our hearts. The first reason I listed of why people are not grateful people, the first one would be pride. Pride. When you think that everything you have is due to you, there's nobody that you would thank. I did this. I earned this. I did this for myself. Who would I thank? Then that is a very prideful person. You're not understanding the world. You're not understanding that God is the giver of every good gift. Here's another reason why someone might not be grateful as they ought to be. It's jealousy. When you're constantly comparing what you have with people that you perceive to have more, you'll never be grateful. And social media is one of those dangerous places for that, where you think, my goodness, they live in a better house than my house. They've got a better family than my family. They drive something nicer than I drive. They take better vacations than the vacations I have. You'll never be grateful if you allow yourself to be jealous. It could be just simply being spoiled. You're so used to having nice things that you don't even think about being grateful. You could be forgetful and not be grateful. But listen, a big reason could be unbelief. Think about your neighbors. You love your neighbors. I hope you're looking for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with your neighbors. But right now, without Christ, they might celebrate Thanksgiving, but what is Thanksgiving to them? It's generally a vague notion of gratitude. There's no one to whom to give thanks. It's just, well, how fortunate am I? The news programs will talk about Thanksgiving coming up and count your blessings, but in reality, it's just the idea of thinking, I'm pretty lucky. That's not what we're doing as believers. This is not about lucky. This is not about how fortunate I am. There is a good God who is blessing us, and we are giving thanks to Him. So today, be thankful. And not just be thankful, give thanks to God. At the top of the list, thank God for His love for you. At the top of the list, give thanks to God who gave His Son for you. Jesus, who came, who lived perfectly and died in your place on a cross, taking the punishment for your sin and was raised from the dead. And thank God for the promise of Scripture that if you believe in Jesus, you won't perish in your sins. You won't be condemned, but you'll have everlasting life. The ultimate in gratitude is to learn of that Savior and say to that, no thanks, not for me. That's the ultimate in gratitude, and I don't want you to have ingratitude. We're called to gratitude. Respond to this Savior. Say, I do need you, and I thank you for coming for me, and Jesus, would you save me? If you will trust in Jesus, you will be eternally grateful, forever grateful. You've heard my story. My brother was so influential in me understanding the gospel as a teenager and then my putting my faith in Jesus by the grace of God. And so this past week, my brother and I were texting back and forth. He lives in South Carolina. And so I just told him again, I've probably told him 100 times through the years, but I said, George, I will be forever grateful because you pointed me to Jesus those years ago. Think about it. And I meant that literally. I will be forever grateful because he pointed me to Jesus and God gave me the gift of faith where I could trust in Jesus. And so I'm forever grateful. And I want you to be forever grateful. This morning before coming, I was thinking about, all right, it's true. It's literally true. 1,000 years from now, I'll still be so grateful that Jesus has washed me clean of all my vile sin. He adopted me into the family, and I've got a home in heaven. 1,000 years from now, when I'm in the presence of God, I'll still be rejoicing. Listen, I know this is 1,000 years. That's not that long. Feels long to me. I'm 58. That feels long. But 1,000 years, I still be praising him. Listen, 1,000,000 years. Let's go ahead and extrapolate out. And then in just the whatever eternity feels like, just on and on, no ending, I will be rejoicing in this Savior. That's what's available to us. But I do want to remind you, there's an alternative to that rejoicing forever. For the person who learns of the Savior and says, not for me, I'm not grateful, I'm not believing that. Listen, there won't be eternal joy that I'm anticipating, that I'm already experiencing. It'll be eternal regret. I have to think that those in the eternal condemnation, that conscious condemnation that's coming, I have to think they would remember moments like this, where I remember I had the opportunity to repent and believe, but I did not. And that regret for all eternity, I can't imagine. I couldn't put into words how horrible that would be. Eternal agony, eternal sorrow, eternal separation from God. But listen, what's available to all of us is to respond to the good news that Jesus can wash all of your sins away. He can give you a brand new life. He can give you eternal life where forever you're rejoicing. Forever you're experiencing joy. Forever you just can't help yourself. I'm just so grateful for this salvation. So let's bow our heads. I want to give you a moment to not be ungrateful, but to be grateful. If you've not yet put your faith in Jesus, this is a wonderful opportunity, not just to say the words and not mean it, but what an opportunity for you to say, oh Lord, I am grateful that you gave a Savior for me, that Jesus came, lived for me, died for me, was raised for me, and I'm trusting him. Here's what you could pray to him. Jesus, would you save me? I'm sorry for my sins. I agree I've been sinful. I've been chasing other things. I've been trusting other things. Jesus, I repent and now trust you only, and I trust you fully. Be my Savior, be my Lord. That's how you begin a new walk with Jesus, when you repent and believe like that. Now let me pray for us. Lord, we want to be grateful people all the time. Lord, it's enjoyable to be grateful, to have our hearts constantly thinking on you. So Lord, help us, even in our difficulties, to lift our eyes up to you. Lord, thank you that it's true. You're with us in our struggles. And Lord, we do ask you to help us in the areas where we hurt. I pray that for my brothers and sisters around the room. Lord, make us grateful. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.